The wind had teeth. It bit at the thin wool of her cloak, a cruel laughing thing that smelled of pine and coming snow. Ember pulled the hood lower, but it was useless. The cold had already sunk into her bones, a familiar ache she had carried for years. But this cold was different. This was the cold of a final ending. He stood a dozen paces away, a silhouette of power against the bruised twilight sky. King Tavish, the Alpha of Alphas. His face was carved from granite and shadow, giving nothing away. He had said the words that were supposed to set her free. You may go. Three words to unravel 3 months of impossible hope. Three words to send her back to the nothing she had been before. Her feet should have been moving. Her legs should have been carrying her across the border stone, a line of pale quartz set into the dirt track that marked the edge of his lands. Freedom was just a single step away, a step back into a world that had never wanted her. But she couldn't move, because he wouldn't. Not the king. The king remained perfectly still, his hands clasped behind his back, a posture of absolute, unshakable authority. It was his wolf. The beast was a creature of myth, a monster of shadow and silver fur large enough to be mistaken for a pony. It had paced at the king's side on their silent walk to the border. But now, it sat. It sat directly on the pale quartz line, its massive body, a living gate. Its head was lowered, but its eyes, two chips of molten gold, were fixed on her. They weren't angry. They weren't threatening. They were something far worse. They were heartbroken. The king had agreed to let her go. His wolf, it seemed, had not. Move him, Ember whispered, her voice a fragile thing that the wind immediately stole. Tavish did not seem to hear, or he chose not to. The silence stretched, pulled thin and tight like a bowstring. The great wolf whined, a low guttural sound of pure misery that vibrated in Ember's chest. This was the moment. The breaking point that had been building since the day he'd walked into her life, this was the end. And it all began, as most miseries did, with the smell of bleach and the cold, hard floor beneath her knees. 3 months earlier, the world had been defined by the length of the grand hall and the ache in her back. Ember's hands were raw, chapped, red, from the harsh lye soap she used to scrub the flagstones. It was her penance, her purpose. She was the girl who cleaned things, who made herself invisible so that the beautiful, important people could glide over the floors without noticing the grit of the world. She was a servant in the castle of Lord Valerius, a minor lord with major ambitions. Her life was a repeating cycle of gray dawns, gray corridors, and gray dreamless sleep. She had been sold to Valerius's household as a child. A debt paid with a body too small to be worth much. She learned quickly to be quiet, to be efficient, to melt into the stone walls and become just another shadow. The other servants mostly ignored her. She was a ghost at the edge of their bustling lives, the one who took the worst jobs without complaint. They didn't know the brand of an Omega that lay hidden beneath the high collar of her drab tunic, a mark burned into her skin when she was 10. Declaring her the lowest of the low, packless, worthless, a broken thing. That morning, the castle was in a frenzy. The Alpha King himself was arriving, King Tavish, the Wolf of the North, the Silent King, a man spoken of in whispers, a ruler of centuries who had never taken a mate. His visits were rare, terrifying events that sent lords like Valerius into fits of anxious hospitality. Ember was tasked with scrubbing the entrance hall, a job no one else wanted. It meant being on hands and knees when the most powerful man in the world arrived. It meant being perfectly, horribly visible. Her heart hammered against her ribs, a frantic bird trapped in a cage of bone. She kept her eyes down, focused on the swirling patterns in the stone, on the rhythmic scrape of her brush. Invisible, she chanted to herself. Be a shadow. Be nothing. The great oak doors groaned open. A blast of cold air swept through the hall, carrying the scent of pine and wild, clean frost. It was him. She could feel it. The very air grew heavy, charged with a power that made the hairs on her arms stand up. Lord Valerius's booming voice echoed. Thick with false welcome, boots clicked on the stone, heavy, measured steps. The scent of him grew stronger, not just pine, something else, something like winter earth and distant wood smoke. It was a scent that felt ancient, lonely. She risked a glance from beneath her lashes. He was immense, taller and broader than any man she had ever seen. He was dressed in black leather and dark furs. No crown, no jewels. Yet, he radiated more authority than a dozen kings. His hair was the color of a ravenous wing, streaked with silver at the temples. But it was his face that stole her breath. It was harsh, beautiful, and utterly devoid of warmth. His eyes, the color of pale winter sky, swept the hall with an unnerving stillness. He ignored Lord Valeriusa's fawning. He ignored the assembled household. His gaze moved, methodical and patient, until it landed on her, on the small, kneeling girl with the scrub brush and the raw hands. The world stopped. The bustling hall fell silent. The air crackled. Ambera's blood turned to ice. He saw her, not just as a piece of the scenery, but as a person. His pale eyes narrowed, and for a heartbeat, she thought she saw a flicker of something in their depths, recognition, shock. He took a step toward her. Then another. Lord Valerius sputtered, trying to intercept him. Your Majesty, forgive the interruption. This is merely a servant. Tavish raised a single hand, and the Lord fell silent, as if struck. The king did not take his eyes off Ember. He came to a stop just a few feet from where she knelt, frozen in a tableau of terror and confusion. He had been searching, for decades, for centuries, following a scent on the wind, a whisper in his soul, a pull toward a mate he had begun to believe was a phantom. He had walked into a thousand halls, looked into a thousand faces, and found nothing. Until now. He had followed the faint, elusive trail to this forgotten keep, and there she was, kneeling, broken, and she smelled of sunlight and hidden embers. She smelled like home. What is your name? His voice was a low rumble, like stones shifting deep underground. It wasn't cruel, it was quiet. It was devastating. Ember couldn't find her own voice. It was trapped in her throat, strangled by fear. She could only stare, her heart trying to beat its way out of her chest. I asked you a question, he said. The softness gone, replaced by a command that vibrated through the very stones. Ember, she choked out, the name, a wisp of sound. He knelt. The Alpha King, the ruler of all packs, knelt on the cold, damp floor in front of a nameless servant girl. A collective gasp rippled through the hall. Lord Valerius looked as if he might faint. Tavish reached out, his large gloved hand moving slowly, as if not to frighten a wild animal. He gently took her chin, tilting her face up to the light. His touch was surprisingly careful. His thumb brushed against her cheek, and a jolt of impossible warmth shot through her, chasing away the bone-deep chill she lived with. His pale eyes searched hers, and she saw the flicker again. Not shock, something deeper. A profound, soul-shaking relief. There you are, he breathed. The words meant, for her alone. I have found you, and with those words, Ember is gray. Silent world, shattered into a million pieces of terrifying, brilliant color. Being taken from Valerius's keep was like being plucked from a puddle and thrown into the ocean. Tavisha's royal retinue was efficient and silent. Within an hour, she was bundled in furs she'd never dared to touch, sitting in a carriage with seats softer than any bed she'd ever known. She didn't speak. She barely breathed. They traveled for a week, north, into the heart of the mountains, to his citadel of stone and ice, Blackwood Peak. It was a fortress carved into the side of a mountain, stark and imposing, yet beautiful in its raw strength. It was a reflection of the king himself. He gave her rooms, not a servant's cot, but a suite of chambers with a roaring fire, a soft bed piled with furs, and a window that looked out over a sea of pine-covered peaks. Servants brought her food, clothes, anything she might need, they treated her with a fearful reverence that was more unnerving than the contempt she was used to. Tavish himself was a constant, unsettling presence. He didn't demand anything of her. He simply was there. He would sit in a chair by her fire for hours, reading from an old tome, the silence between them thick with unspoken things. He ate his meals with her, not at a grand table, but at the small one in her rooms. Why? She finally asked one night, her voice rusty from disuse. The word hung between them. Why her? Why this? He looked up from his book, his pale eyes finding hers. Because you are mine. It wasn't a proclamation of ownership. It was a statement of fact, as simple and absolute as the rising of the moon. It terrified her. It made a small, starved thing in her chest flutter with a hope so dangerous, she immediately tried to crush it. But the castle was not a sanctuary. It was a gilded cage full of predators, the court whispered. Who was this packless Omega, this slip of a girl with haunted eyes? Why had the king, who had ignored princesses and high-born ladies for centuries, brought her here? The true threat, however, had a name, Lyra. She arrived a month after Ember did, a whirlwind of silks and venomous smiles. Lyra was a high-born alpha female from a powerful southern pack, a woman Tavish had once been betrothed to in a political alliance generations ago. An alliance he had broken. Lyra had never forgiven him. She was beautiful, with hair like spun gold and eyes the color of emeralds. She moved with a liquid grace, her power a palpable thing that made the other courtiers bow and scrape. And she hated Ember on sight. So this is the little stray the king found, Lyra said, her voice dripping with condescending sweetness. She cornered Ember in a library, her presence sucking the air from the room. Tell me, darling, what magic do you possess to have captured our king's attention? Or is it just a pathetic sort of novelty? Ember said nothing, her throat tight. She just wanted to shrink, to disappear. Lyra's smile sharpened. He will tire of you. He always does. He is a king, you are dust. Lyra began her campaign subtly. A whispered word to a council member here, a rumor planted with a lady in waiting there. She's barren. She's cursed. She's a spy from a rival pack. The whispers grew into a murmur that followed Ember through the halls. The court, which had been cautiously respectful, grew cold, then hostile. Tavish seemed oblivious, lost in his quiet contemplation. He continued his silent vigils in her room, the calm eye in the storm of courtly intrigue. But Ember saw the strain. In him, the lines around his eyes seemed deeper. Sometimes in the dead of night, she would hear him cough, a dry, rattling sound he tried to stifle. She saw the tremor in his hand as he lifted a cup, a flicker of weakness, so fleeting, she thought she might have imagined it. He was hiding something, a sickness, a decay that seemed to be eating him from the inside out. Their moments together were stolen, islands of peace in a sea of hostility. One evening, he found her in the gardens, staring at the moon. You are cold, he stated, coming to stand beside her. Before she could protest, he shrugged off his own heavy fur cloak and wrapped it around her shoulders. It was heavy, warm, and smelled of him, Antian, winter, and strength. Thank you, Your Majesty, she whispered, clutching the fur. Tavish, he corrected her, his voice low. My name is Tavish. I can't, she stammered. You can, he said, his gaze intense. The external siege was relentless. Lyra petitioned the council, claiming the Kanga's obsession with a low-born Omega was a sign of madness, a weakness their enemies would exploit. Delegates from allied packs arrived, their faces grim. They demanded the king set Ember aside and form a proper alliance through marriage, for the good of the kingdom. Tavish refused. He stood before his council, a figure of ice and iron, and declared Ember was under his protection. The defiance cost him. Alliances frayed. Old treaties were questioned. The political pressure mounted, a tightening noose. Lyra saw her opening. She didn't need to defeat Tavish. She just needed to break his new fragile toy. The attack came, not with swords, but with words. Lyra arranged a formal dinner, a grand affair with every important lord and lady present. She maneuvered Ember into a seat of prominence, a place where all eyes could fall upon her. Throughout the meal, Lyra spoke of lineage, of bloodlines, of the sacred duty of the Alpha King to produce a strong heir. Her words were a web, and Ember was the fly caught in its center. "Of course," Lyra said, her voice carrying across the silent hall. "Any potential queen must be pure of blood, free of any taint, any mark of shame." She looked directly at Ember. "For instance, the brand of an Omega. A mark of a broken wolf, a worthless creature. Such a person could never sit on the throne. To even suggest it would be an insult to our ancestors. It would bring ruin upon us all." The words were a physical blow. Ember could feel hundreds of eyes on her, sharp and cruel. The high collar of her dress suddenly felt paper thin. They knew. Somehow, Lyra knew. Ember's hands began to tremble, her breath hitched. The room started to spin. She had to get out. She pushed her chair back and fled, ignoring the collective gasp, the triumphant smirk on Lyra's face. She ran through the winding corridors, blind with tears, her only thought to escape. Tavish found her hours later, huddled in a forgotten alcove, shivering. He said nothing. He simply sat on the cold stone beside her, his presence a solid warm wall against the darkness. "She's right," Ember whispered to the floor. "I am broken. I'm worthless. I'm bringing ruin to you." "No," he said, his voice rough, with an emotion she couldn't name. "You are not. You have to let me go," she pleaded finally, looking at him, her face wet with tears. "For your people. Send me away." He stared at her, and for the first time she saw the full depth of his agony. The mask of the cold, untouchable king was gone. In his eyes was a centuries-old loneliness and a desperate, clawing fear. The fear of losing her. "I can't," he rasped. "You must," she insisted, her voice gaining a strength born of despair. "They will tear you apart because of me. Let me go, Tavish, please." He looked away out a narrow window at the snow-dusted peaks. The silence stretched for an eternity. The king was at war with the man. Duty was at war with desire. When he finally spoke, his voice was hollow. "Dead, as you wish." The political crisis had given Lyra the perfect weapon. By forcing him to choose between Ember and his throne, she had won. He was a king before he was a man. He had responsibilities he could not abdicate, not even for his mate. He had to protect his kingdom, and the council, swayed by Lyra's poison, had made it clear the Omega girl had to go, so he had agreed. He would escort her to the border himself. It was a final, quiet act of possession. He would be the last one to see her leave his lands. And that led them here, to the border stone, the biting wind, and the silent, immovable wolf. The memory of his dead voice, saying, "As you wish," was a fresh wound. It had been a surrender, a defeat. And now, this silent, stubborn rebellion from the beast that was the other half of his soul. Ember took a hesitant step toward the wolf. "Please," she said softly, "you have to let me pass." The great wolf laid its head on its paws, its golden eyes blinking slowly. A soft puff of warm air escaped its nostrils, misting in the frigid air. "It did not move, Tavish," Ember said, her voice sharper, turning to the king. "Make him move!" Tavish finally looked at her. The granite mask was back in place, but his eyes were a swirling storm of gray. "He will not obey me in this. What do you mean? You're his king. You're him." "My wolf has a will of its own," he said, his voice strained, "and it will not allow its mate to leave." "Mate." The words struck her like lightning. He had never said it aloud before. "Mine? Yes, but not mate." Then what happens?" she asked, her heart beginning a slow, heavy drumbeat of dawning, terrifying hope. "I do not know," he admitted. The admission seemed to cost him dearly. The all-powerful king did not know. Suddenly, a shout echoed from the trees behind them. A man on horseback burst from the forest, his face pale with panic. It was one of Tavisha's guards. "Your Majesty!" the guard yelled, reining in his frantic horse. "It's the village!" A raid. Tavish was instantly alert, the troubled man gone. The king returned. "Who?" "Border Reavers, sire. But they're not just raiding. They're taking things. They took Alara." The baker's girl Embera's blood ran cold. "Alara?" A small, sweet child of six, with bright red ribbons in her hair. Ember had spoken to her just a few days ago, sneaking her a warm roll from the kitchens. Tavishay's face was thunderous. He turned to Ember, his eyes blazing. "Go back to the castle. Now." "No," she said. The word out of her mouth before she could think. He stared at her, shocked by her defiance. "This is not a debate. It is a command." "Alara is just a child," Ember said, her voice shaking but firm. "I'm not hiding in a castle while she's in danger." Before he could argue, the great wolf rose to its feet. It didn't look at Tavish. It looked at Ember, then turned and nudged her hand with its massive head. A clear gesture. "We go." A low growl rumbled in Tavish's chest, a sound of pure frustration. His wolf had made its choice, and it had chosen her. "Stay behind me," he snarled. And then he was moving, running toward the trees with a predator's speed. The wolf loped at his side. Left with no choice, Ember gathered her skirts and ran after them, her heart pounding with a fear that was no longer just for herself. They reached the village in minutes. It was chaos. Huts were burning, the air thick with smoke and the screams of the wounded. A band of rough-looking men were dragging sacks of grain and a few crying children toward the woods. Ember saw her. Alara, kicking and screaming in the arms of a brute, with a scarred face. Tavish and his wolf became a blur of violence. The king moved with impossible speed, his bare hands as deadly as any sword. The wolf was a silver reaping machine, all teeth and claws. But the reavers were numerous, and they were desperate. The man holding Alara saw them coming. He drew a long, wicked-looking knife and held it to the child's throat. "Stay back!" he screamed, his eyes wild. "Or the girl dies!" Everyone froze. Tavish stood 20 feet away, his chest heaving, his hands stained with blood. His wolf stood beside him, snarling, every muscle coiled to spring. "Let the child go," Tavish commanded, his voice deadly calm, "and I may let you live." The man laughed, a ragged, ugly sound. "I don't think so, King. She's my ticket out of here." He started backing away, dragging the terrified child with him. Ember watched, her insides twisting into a knot of pure, helpless rage. This was happening because of her. The chaos, the raid. Lyra wouldn't have hired reavers, but the instability she had caused in the kingdom had made this possible. This was her fault. Alara was going to die because she was weak. No, a fire ignited in her chest. A deep, primal furnace. That had been cold for a lifetime. It was the rage of every injustice, every cruel word. Every moment she had been made to feel like nothing. It roared to life, hot and furious. She started walking forward. "Ember!" "No." Tavish's voice was a sharp command. She ignored him. Her eyes were locked on the reaver, on the terrified face of the little girl. The cold that had lived in her bones for 20 years was gone, burned away by this new, terrifying heat. The reaver's eyes widened as she approached. "I mean it. I'll kill her. Let her go," Ember said, her voice no longer a whisper. It was low, steady, and humming with a power she didn't recognize. "Stay back!" he shrieked, pressing the blade harder against Alara's skin. A thin red line appeared. Seeing the blood, something inside Ember snapped. The fire in her chest exploded. She felt more than saw it. A wave of heat, visible as a shimmer in the air, erupted from her. It wasn't a flame, but it was just as potent. The snow around her feet hissed into steam. The air grew thick and hot. The reaver cried out, dropping the knife as if it had become red hot. He stumbled back, shielding his eyes from a light that only he seemed to see. He looked at Ember, his face a mask of superstitious terror. "Witch," he breathed, and then he turned and fled into the woods. Alara, free, ran sobbing toward Ember, who caught her and held her tight, her body still thrumming with the strange, exhilarating heat. She looked up and met Tavishas's eyes. His face was a storm of emotions she could not begin to decipher: awe, disbelief, fear, and a fierce, blazing pride. The battle was over. The remaining Reavers, seeing their leader flee from an unarmed girl, lost their nerve and scattered. The villagers rushed forward, surrounding Ember and Alara, their faces full of wonder. Tavish strode toward her, his presence parting the crowd. He stopped in front of her, his gaze sweeping over her, checking for injuries. His wolf came and sat at her feet, leaning its heavy weight against her legs. In a gesture of absolute devotion, he reached out, his hand hesitating for a moment before he cupped her cheek. His skin was cool against hers, which was still radiating a faint warmth. "The fire," he murmured, his voice thick with wonder. "It's real." He wasn't talking about what had just happened. He was talking about something older, something he had known, or suspected, all along. It was then that a fit of coughing seized him. It was violent and deep, shaking his entire frame. He turned away, trying to hide it, but it was too late. When he pulled his hand away from his mouth, Ember saw the dark stain of blood on his glove, the slow decay, the hidden sickness. It wasn't just a weakness, it was killing him. The pieces clicked into place. The chill she sometimes felt from his skin, his constant need for roaring fires. He wasn't just a king of the north, he was consumed by an inner winter, a magical ailment that was freezing him from the inside out. And she was fire. The hope that had been a dangerous flutter was now a roaring blaze. It wasn't just that he wanted her, he needed her. Without her warmth, his cold would eventually kill him. She wasn't a weakness to be hidden. She was his only chance at survival. But the moment of revelation was broken by a cold, cutting voice. "How touching! The little stray has parlor tricks." Lyra stood at the edge of the village square, flanked by several grim-faced members of the Kongas Council. She must have followed them. Her face was a mask of cold fury, her emerald eyes blazing with hatred. "You see," she called out to the council members, "I told you she was a hedge witch. A dangerous anomaly. She uses her dark arts to bewitch our king and bring chaos to our lands. She must be purged." One of the council elders, a stern man named Lord Borin, stepped forward. "The woman is right, Your Majesty. This creature is a threat. The law is clear. Uncontrolled magic is a death sentence." The villagers, who moments before had looked at Ember with awe, now drew back, their faces clouded with fear and suspicion. "Witch. The word was a poison." "She saved a child," Tavish growled, stepping in front of Ember, shielding her with his body. "She saved this village. She revealed herself as a monster," Lyra countered, her voice ringing with triumph. "King or not, you cannot defy the old laws. The council demands she be handed over for judgment." Tavish's hand went to the hilt of a sword he wasn't wearing. His wolf rose, a lethal growl rumbling in its chest. The air grew thick with the promise of violence. It was the king against his own council, a civil war waiting to happen. And Ember knew with sickening certainty that she was the spark that would set it all ablaze. She had to end this. She stepped out from behind Tavish. "He's right," she said, her voice clear and steady, carrying across the square. "The law is the law." Tavish turned to her, his eyes wide with disbelief and betrayal. "Ember, what are you doing?" She looked at him, pouring every ounce of her feeling, her desperation, her love into that one look. "Trust me," she turned to the council. "I will surrender myself for judgment on one condition." Lord Borin narrowed his eyes. "What condition?" "You will convene the judgment here, now in front of these people, and the king will preside." Lyra smiled. It was a foolish move. She thought Ember was walking into her own execution. But Ember had seen the awe in the villagers' eyes before Lyra had twisted it into fear. They had seen her save Alara. Their testimony was her only hope. Lord Boren conferred with the others. It was an unusual request, but it satisfied the law. Agreed, he said. The trial was a farce. Lyra presented her case, painting Ember as a demonic seductress. But when the villagers were called to speak, the truth began to surface. The baker, Alara's father, spoke with a choked voice of how Ember had saved his daughter when the king himself was held at bay. Others spoke of small kindnesses, of the gentle girl who always had a smile for the children. The tide was turning. Fear was giving way to gratitude. Lyra, seeing her plan unraveling, grew desperate. She has bewitched you all. She is a parasite who has latched onto our king, weakening him, poisoning him. No, Ember said, her voice ringing with the fire that now felt like a permanent part of her. I am not the one who is killing him. She looked directly at Tavish, her heart in her eyes. There is a sickness in him, a cold that is draining his life. I did not cause it, but I think I can stop it. She walked toward him, ignoring the gasps from the council. She stopped right in front of him, the man she loved, the king who was dying in secret. Your Majesty, she said, her voice soft but clear for all to hear, does it hurt? His composure finally broke. The centuries of pain, of loneliness, of fighting the creeping ice within him, showed on his face. Yes, he whispered, the admission a crack in the armor of a god. Not anymore, she vowed. She reached up her hands trembling and placed them on his chest. She closed her eyes and called to the fire inside her. Not the explosive rage from before, but a gentle, steady warmth, a hearth fire, a sunrise. She felt it flow from her, through her palms, into his body. It wasn't a violent power, but a quiet, insistent heat, seeking out the cold, driving back the shadows. Tavish gasped, his whole body shuddering. A faint, golden light bloomed under her hands, visible even in the gray daylight. The air around them grew warm and smelled of summer. He sagged against her not in weakness, but in profound relief, his head bowing until his forehead rested against hers. She could feel the change in him. The frantic, shallow beat of his heart slowed, grew stronger. The unnatural chill emanating from his skin receded. She was pouring her own life, her own warmth, into him, and it was working. When she opened her eyes, the square was silent. Every person was staring, their faces filled with utter awe. Lyra's face was ashen, her expression one of pure, venomous defeat. She had tried to expose a witch, and had instead revealed a savior. The deep lines of pain around his eyes had softened. A touch of color had returned to his face. He looked younger, stronger. He looked at Ember, and the love in his eyes was so powerful. It was a physical force. He turned to his council, his voice booming with renewed strength, the voice of a true king. This is Ember, of my heart and of my soul. She is not my weakness. She is my strength. She is the fire that holds back my winter. She is my mate. And she will be your queen. He paused, his gaze sweeping over them, daring any to object. Anyone who objects can take their concerns to my dungeons. No one moved, no one spoke. Lord Boren, his face pale, slowly dropped to one knee. One by one, the other council members followed, then the guards, then the villagers, until the entire square, Lyra included, was kneeling before them. Tavish ignored them all. He turned back to Ember, his hands coming up to cradle her face. I love you, he said. The words he had held back for so long finally spoken. Not in desperation, but in triumph. I think I have loved you for 100 years before I ever met you. Tears streamed down Embera's face, but they were tears of joy, of relief. I love you, Tavish. He lowered his head and kissed her. There, in front of his people, his council, and his defeated enemy. It wasn't a desperate kiss, or a hungry one. It was a promise. A homecoming. The feel of his lips on hers was the final perfect piece of a soul she hadn't known was incomplete. 6 months later, Ember stood on the battlements of Blackwood Peak, a warm spring wind tossing her hair. The heavy fur cloak she wore was for comfort now, not necessity. The inner fire Shade discovered was a constant gentle warmth that kept the mountain chill at bay. Tavish came to stand behind her, wrapping his arms around her waist and pulling her back against his chest. He was solid, strong, and blessedly warm. Her healing had not been instantaneous, but a slow, steady process. Every day, she shared her warmth with him, driving the last vestiges of the ancient cold from his bones. The blood on his glove had never reappeared. "What are you thinking about?" he murmured, his lips against her hair. "That day," she said softly, "at the border, when your wolf refused to move." He chuckled, a deep, warm sound that was no longer a rarity. "He is the wiser half of my soul. He knew what I was too proud and too foolish to admit, that letting you go would have been the end of me, in more ways than one." Lyra had been exiled, sent back to her southern lands in disgrace, her power broken. The council, now fiercely loyal to their new queen, had solidified Tavisha's rule. The kingdom was more secure than it had been in a century. Ember leaned back against him, content. Her old life of gray corridors and cold floors felt like a story someone had told her about a different person. She was no longer a shadow. She was a queen, a mate, a fire. "He's restless today," she said, nodding toward the courtyard below, where the great silver wolf was pacing circles around Alara, who was laughing and trying to braid flowers into his thick fur. "He is," Tavish agreed. "He senses a change." Ember smiled and placed a hand over her still flat stomach. A new life was growing there, a new spark, a child of winter and summer, of ice and fire. Tavish placed his hand over hers, his eyes shining with a deep, quiet joy that transformed his harsh face into something beautiful. He had found his mate, his queen, his salvation. And she, the girl who had been taught she was worthless, had found that her broken pieces were exactly what a dying king needed to be made whole. She had a home, she had a purpose, she was loved. And for the first time in her life, she was finally truly warm.